The Old Testament reading is taken from the Book of Psalms, page 624 in the Church Bibles, the middle of the Church Bibles, Psalm 127, one of the Songs of Ascents. This one's ascribed to Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder's labour is in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For while they sleep, the Lord provides for those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed in the Lord is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with enemies in the gate. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as usual, please keep that passage open in front of you. Psalm 127, page 624. And let's ask for the Lord's help as we come to his word together. Father, would you be our teacher this morning as we come to your word? By your Spirit, open up our hearts to receive your word, to be humble before you, and to be shaped by your word in the way that we think and the way that we live. Amen. Well, next week, as I said, is our forward focus meeting, our annual church meeting. And I thought, rather than have me do the sort of address at the end of that, where we sort of think about where we are and where we're heading as a church, I wanted us sort of to do that over this Sunday and next Sunday in the sermon, so that as many as possible can be thinking about these truths together. And what we're going to look at what the Bible says to us that I think is particularly relevant for us in our context at the moment. So what is our context? Okay, let me, and I'm thinking not just Emmanuel Church, but sort of broader in the country as well. What is our context? Okay, let me depress you a bit before we head for the uplifting bit. I don't know whether you've noticed, but the UK in 2016 is not the most encouraging time or place for church growth. There are other places in the world where the church is growing massively. But the church in England seems to be in decline. Certainly the Church of England is declining. In the decade between 2004 and 2014, weekly attendance at Church of England churches dropped by 12%. The end figure being that on average you get 980,000 people per week attending Church of England churches, which represents about 1.8% of the population. So that is a tiny percentage of the total population go to Church of England churches. Okay, there are other churches as well. We recognise that. But nevertheless, that's a low figure, isn't it? And it's getting lower. And talking with other evangelical church leaders, I thought I would ask them, I've been asking several recently, what they're finding in terms of conversion growth in their churches. Because you do hear of churches that are growing, but actually it's interesting to ask how much of that is transfer growth from other churches, and how much of that is conversion growth? And what are other church leaders finding? Well, talking to other church leaders, they're saying, actually, the number of conversions, it seems, is much lower than it used to be. Much lower than, say, 20, 30 years ago. I was talking with someone about student ministry. 20, 30 years ago, they would say they would have expected 20, 30 years ago that every term you would see two or three people come to Christ. Every term. So there would be just a steady trickle, steady stream of people turning to Jesus. in student ministries. But now in student ministries, you don't see that so much. There are some encouraging signs in there, but actually you just don't see it as much. And certainly in churches, when talking about conversion growth, it feels like there isn't so much going on. And what about Emmanuel Church? Well, we have the same struggles as everyone else, don't we? You just got to look back over the church register and you can see, because not that we keep register of everyone, whether you've attended or not, don't worry about that. But we do keep track on numbers, how many people have come along each week. And you just have to look back over sort of 10, 20, 30 years and you see, actually, numbers here, there's just a steady decline, actually, in numbers in adults and children's ministry. And often that's for good reasons, people moving on, moving away, unavoidable reasons for moving on. Okay, so that's the depressing news. But in that context, what do we do? In the context of a country where it seems like Christianity is just more and more marginalised, less and less people go to church, less and less people seem interested in Jesus, and even though, and I think this is true amongst us as well, even though there are lots of us who are trying to speak to people about Jesus, actually it feels like we get quite a lot of just, there's a brick wall, people don't respond, people aren't interested. How do we respond? Two things that I think we need to hold on to that are particularly relevant for us from the Bible. We're going to look at one truth to hold on to and one command to obey. We're going to look at the truth today. We're going to look at the command next week. So the truth to hold on to is this. The Lord is the builder. The Lord is the builder. And you get this clearly from Psalm 127. We're just going to look at the first two verses. Open it up again if you've closed it, but please have a look at it. I'm just going to read those first two verses again. I want you to see, it is very obvious from these verses what they're saying about God being the builder. Let me just read them to you again. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Now, I reckon with the number of church family members who've done building projects in the last sort of 12 months, there are quite a few who've done them, that I thought this analogy might hit home even more for some among us. But in the images of the Lord building, unless the Lord builds, the builders labour in vain. Now, there are many applications of these verses. There are lots of applications. You can apply this to your own life, to your family, to work, to all sorts of places. There are lots of applications of these verses. Now, we're going to think of them specifically in terms of church, because that's what we're thinking about over the next couple of weeks. And Psalm 127 contrasts two ways of being, two ways of thinking, doesn't it? And here they are, the two ways of thinking. There's the solo build mentality, and there's the Lord building. Ooh, hello. Wasn't expecting that. There is no significance of the fact that the word solo has just leapt out of the box. Okay, ignore that. There's solo build mentality and the Lord building mentality. Two contrasting ways of thinking. Now, it's patently obvious, isn't it, from Psalm 127, that the psalmist is saying solo builds don't work. If you're on your own building, it will be in vain. Because it says, unless the Lord builds, the builders build in vain. And every church, I think, will say, we need the Lord to build the church. There is no church out there that is going to be saying, we're okay on our own. And yet, it is very easy for the solo build mentality to take over or to creep into our thinking. In fact, I think every church will battle with a solo build mentality. So let's first think about the solo build. Now, that was supposed to happen. The solo build. And then we'll think about what it means to trust the Lord in building his house. So we see in verse 2 what someone with a solo build mentality looks like. Verse 2, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. What's the solo build mentality? It's saying, it's all down to me. It's all up to me to make things happen. So there is pressure to work. For this person, it is pressure. They've got to get up early. They think, oh, it's all down to me whether I'm going to eat tonight or not, whether my family eats tonight or not. Therefore, I've got to get up earlier to work. And the earlier I can get up, the more work I can do, the better it'll be. And furthermore, the longer I stay up, the later I stay up, the more work I can do, the safer we will be. We will be secure as a family if I can get up early, go to bed late, and work, and then we will be okay. There is pressure and there is anxiety. It says, well, it says they're toiling for food to eat. Another translation of that is eating the bread of anxious toil, which is a lovely way of putting it. Eating the bread of anxious toil. It's anxious. It's, are we going to be okay? Are we not going to be okay? And furthermore, it seems like there's no sleep. Because it says at the end, for he grants sleep to those he loves. He's staying up so late, getting up so early, he has very little sleep, and probably the sleep he has is very disturbed anyway. Not because of little children, but because he's anxious. Okay, how does that translate into church life? What does that look like? Particularly in a context, in a national context of church decline. Now, this has hit home for me, and I realize I need to repent of some of this thinking. I'm not saying I do all of the things that I'm just about to list, but certainly some of them. And, well, if the cap fits, join me in wearing it so that we can repent together and we can be changed by God's word. All right, so what are some of the ways that we can slip into a solo build? And like I say, I'm aware I do some of these as well. One, numbers become everything. Numbers become everything. Because if we're solo build as a church, what do we look for? What do we look for to say we're being successful or not? Well, often the thing that people will look at is numbers. Don't you do this? I know I've done this before. When someone says, how did go? You say, well, we had this many people. That's what we do, isn't it? That's our instinct. So someone says to me, how did Holiday Club go? Well, we had about 80 people come along. There we go. Straight into numbers. Numbers is the thing. Now, that's a good number of people. But that just shows what our heart's instinct is, to say it's all about the numbers. And we will judge success by whether there were lots of people or not. Now, it isn't totally wrong to think about numbers, of course. It's good to analyse the numbers sometimes. And it's good to pray for numbers. We want more people to come along. It's great when there are lots of people. It's great that there were 80 children at Holiday Club. But here's the thing. If we're the ones building the building on our own, we decide what success looks like. And we will often think, well, success is all about the numbers. It's having lots of people. And we've got to remember, actually, there were times in Jesus' ministry where the ministry went down to a very few. Jesus spoke the truth, and sometimes the crowds left him. And he didn't chase after them. In fact, he said to the disciples, are you going to leave as well? And they sort of give a kind of positive response, but it's not totally encouraging. It's sort of, well, who else would we go to? You have the words of eternal life. I mean, it's kind of positive, but it's, well. So numbers become everything if we're in solo build mentality. Next thing. We must find the silver bullet. You know what I mean by that. It's sort of saying we must find the thing. We must find the thing that will bring the numbers, that will bring what we think of as success, because it's all down to us. So we've got to find it, whatever it may be. Maybe it's a new service. Maybe it's not a new service. Maybe it's planting churches. Maybe it's doing messy church. Maybe it's doing this kind of music. Maybe it's doing that kind of music. Maybe it's praying in this way or praying in that way. Maybe if we do this or this or this, then we'll get the numbers in. We've got to find what that silver bullet is. Maybe we should go back to what we used to do. Maybe we should forget what we used to do and go forward to something else. The thing is, everyone has their own idea of what we should do. And we can hold these views very intensely with a solo build mentality because we think we've got to do this thing. This thing will bring success and we want Emmanuel to be successful. So we've got to do that thing. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not wrong to try new things, and I'll speak about that in a moment. But if we have the silver bullet mentality, it's a kind of, we've got to do this, or we've got to do that, and then we'll see success, we'll see growth, then I think we've slipped into a solo build mentality. Next one. We must do what they do. So the answer is, you find, if you're in solo build mentality, maybe what you do is you say, well, let's find places in the world where the church is growing and let's do what they're doing. Because obviously it's working there, let's get it to work here. But of course, just because you find a church that's growing numerically doesn't mean that what they're doing is necessarily right. Of course, what they're doing might be very wise. So we must learn from other places. We must look out there. We mustn't become inward looking. We must look out and see what other churches are doing and try to apply things here, but not in a kind of solo build mentality of, well, we've got to find that thing, whatever that thing is. And they seem to be doing it, so we'll do what they're doing. Otherwise, we could become a bit like, well, if you were to say, well, I want to become fit, and fit people seem to wear tracksuits, therefore I'll wear a tracksuit all the time, in the hope that that will make me fit. Now, wearing a tracksuit might be a good idea, might be helpful, but that's not the thing that makes us fit, is it? Next thing, anxiety. Because it's all down to us. You end up with a church leadership who are stressed, church leaders who burn out, and there are plenty who do, very stressed because the pressure that they put on themselves to make the right decisions, to find the right thing. And it means you can have a congregation as well, which is anxious and critical and dissatisfied because they just want to find that thing. And furthermore, lack of prayer. Well, why would you pray? If it's all down to us, if it's a solo build, well, why would you bother praying? It's a waste of time. Get on with the things that are actually going to build the church. Well, that's solo build. And like I say, I'm aware that there are times when that kind of mentality creeps into me. I wonder whether it does for you. And we need to repent of that, don't we? Because the reality is, from verse 1, where it says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. The reality is, if it really is a solo build, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. Now, there are different ways for building a building to be in vain. Obviously, you could build a building and not get to the end of it. You could plan to do your building work and realize halfway through you've not got enough money and it all comes to nothing because you've got the foundations there, but nothing else is going to happen. But there are other ways that a building can be in vain. John Piper, very helpfully in his sermon on this passage, lays out various ways that a building can be in vain. We won't go into all of them now. But another way could be that you actually do build the building. It's there, but it's, well, not very useful. It isn't used for what you wanted it to be used for. The building may be built. The city may be safe. The bread may be earned. But it can still all be in vain. If the Lord isn't building it, it's pointless. However grand the building may appear, if the Lord isn't building it, in the end it'll be futile. You could, you see, build a church of thousands of people and find in the end it was all in vain. Well, the alternative is set out for us, obviously, in Psalm 127, which is that the Lord builds. So we're going to think about that now. The Lord building. If the Lord builds, then the building is not in vain. Notice in the verses, we are not the key builders. I mean, this is obvious, isn't it? Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. We're not the key builders. We're not even the majority builders. This is saying the Lord is the builder. If the Lord doesn't build it, it's in vain. If the Lord builds it, it's not in vain. Now let that sink in. Let that sink in. That the Lord is the key builder among us, isn't he? Now I think that is really encouraging, as well as very humbling. The growth of Emmanuel Church is not in your hands. It's not in my hands. It is solely down to the Lord. And we also need to ask what kind of growth the Lord brings. We think of numerical growth because we tend to think of numbers. But there's also growth in awareness of sin, knowledge of God's grace, in commitment to Jesus, growth in delight in his love, in devotion to one another. There are lots of ways of growing. And what has Jesus promised about building the church? What has he promised? Have a look at, on the screen. Matthew 16, verse 18. He says, I tell you that you are Peter. Okay, he's talking to Peter. And on this rock, play on the word Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. What's the promise? Jesus has promised, I am going to build my church. In fact, I'm not sure whether it's a promise or a statement. Maybe the two are the same. But it's Jesus is just saying, I'm going to do this. I am going to build my church. And notice what won't overcome it. The gates of Hades, or hell, the gates of hell will not overcome my building project, Jesus is saying. I will build it. I'm going to build my church no matter what, and nothing will get in the way. Now, again, that's really encouraging, isn't it? Nothing is going to stop Jesus. You're not going to stop Jesus. I'm not going to stop Jesus. There is nothing that we can do that will suddenly hijack or wreck this building project that God is doing. Jesus is saying, I'm going to build my church. He will do it. So back to Psalm 127. As we hold on to this truth, how will it shape us as a church? Here are a few things. First, we'll depend on... Actually, hang on, I need to... I got these in the wrong order. Right, I'll put them all up, then we'll work our way through them. Okay, we need to trust God's methods. Since it's God who brings the growth, we need to trust his methods for doing it. We'll want to do things his way. We'll trust the gospel, which is the power to save lives. Romans chapter 1 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. What is the thing God has given that says this is the thing that will save people for eternity? It is the gospel of Jesus. It is the good news of Jesus. The good news of his death and resurrection. We hold on to that because the temptation will be to be ashamed of it, to sideline the message. It's easy to be ashamed of because it speaks of judgment. It speaks of our sin. It speaks of our need for forgiveness, of Jesus dying for us and rising to life again, of our need to be humble before Jesus and submit to him. Well, they're not very popular things to say. And however well you do at showing the contemporary culture the relevance of the gospel, in the end, the gospel is offensive. But it's God's method. It's his way of building his church. And he knows what he's doing. He sent his son to die to create the church. He knows what he's doing when he comes to building it. So we trust his methods. We depend on God in prayer. Second one there. Depend on God in prayer. Since the success of the building depends on God, of course we pray. He tells us to pray, and so we joyfully obey. I want to thank Cara and her team for the great work they're doing in keeping on thinking about how we doing our prayer times. It's been really encouraging this year so far to see, as a church, it feels like there are that we as a church are getting a bit more behind praying together. Now, is that just a little blip, or is that actually the Lord moving among us? I pray it's the Lord moving among us. But keep coming along to our prayer meetings month by month and the prayer breakfasts every term. The key factor, the only factor in whether the building is built or not is the Lord. I'm also really encouraged by the Archbishop of Canterbury and Justin Welby and his call. I don't know whether you've heard of this, but he has issued a call to churches to pray for the evangelization of the nation, that people turn to Jesus. And he has issued this call that we would do this in the lead up to Pentecost, which is on the 15th of May. Now that is a great move, isn't it? It's saying, as a nation, what's going to turn the nation around for Christ? What's going to change that downwards curve to an upward one in terms of people turning to Jesus? What's going to make the difference? It's got to be God. So we've got to gather together to pray that the Lord would move among us and move in this land. Third, joyful labour. A false application would be, well, therefore, we don't need to do anything. If the Lord's going to build, we don't need to do anything. Clearly, that's not right. In the New Testament, we are incredibly described as God's co-workers. That's an incredible title to have. But we know he's the one who's going to bring the growth, and that lifts the burden, doesn't it, and brings a joy in our labours together. We'll still try things. We keep trying things. We'll do it in a joyful way. That's why we launched Emmanuel at 4 last September. That's why we did the 80th birthday events. Yes, to celebrate together, but to try to draw people in. And we'll keep trying things to look to see how the Lord will use them. We're looking also to maybe do some different things in our morning services as well. We'll try them over the summer term. There may be some things where you like them, some things you don't. But we'll give them a go. And that's all right. We can try things in a joyful way, not looking for them as a silver bullet. No pressure, but try things. And if things work, great. If they aren't so good, never mind. But there'll be a joy about our labour, a joy about gathering together, because we know ultimately the pressure is not on us. We look to the Lord to see how he will build his church. And we won't be hung up about numbers. We can rejoice no matter how many there are of us. Fourth, watchful and thankful. We'll always be on the lookout to see how is the Lord building his church among us? What's he doing? And we'll miss that if all we think about is numbers, which I'm not saying anyone does only think about numbers, but we're in danger of missing what the Lord is actually doing among us. Isn't it such an encouragement? The Lord working in young people's lives, having had the confirmation service and the baptism coming up, and there are lots of other areas of encouragement. And at the Forward Focus lunch next week, I want us to have a time of being able to tell one another about answers to prayer and things for which we are thankful. Because it should lead us to praise God. We look to see where the Lord is at work among us. And that should lead us to praise. Because we know any building that we see is the Lord's work. And lastly on the screen, peaceful trust. This is kind of the equivalent of sleep. Actually, for some of us, it might actually be sleep. But we'll trust God that the church is in his hands. Doesn't mean that the future will happen as we plan. There are plenty of times, even in the Bible, where you see, you question, why has the Lord done it this way? It's not always that churches grow and become bigger in numbers. There are places in the world where there is no church now. But overall, the Lord is building his church, and we will trust him that he knows what he's doing. It does mean we know the Lord is in control. So, truth to hold on to is that the Lord is the builder. He builds his church. And so we trust him. To sum up, Brian Lara is a cricketer. That's not the summing up. Brian Lara is a cricketer, though. Former West Indian cricketer. And he sent a message to the West Indian team before the semi-finals of the World 2020 competition, which has just happened. And he said this in this quote. I don't know that Brian Lara is a Christian, but he said this to them. There's Brian Lara. And he said, play hard and leave the result for the man above. And actually, that's what this is saying, isn't it? Play hard, leave the result to the man above. Or you could put it in the words of the verse that we learnt at Holiday Club. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. We can trust God. He's a great God. And he is building his church. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are the builder. You're the one who builds your church. Thank you that you've promised that you will. And we pray, please, that you would help us, Father, to repent of a solo build mentality. Help us, Father, to not to fall into that. Help me, help us, where we need to change in our thinking. And help us, Father, to trust you, that you are the one who builds your church. Help us, therefore, to be devoted to you, to your methods, to praying to you, to be joyful in our labour, to watch and be thankful, and to trust you with a peaceful trust. Father, help us to do that as a church. Help us to do this as individuals as well, in our own lives, to trust you as the one who builds the house. Amen.